Ecclesiastes chapter 4, we're going to read, let's just read this whole chapter, and then we're going to pull a few things out of a couple verses here. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. Bible says, "So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter, and on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than both they, which hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Again I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. The fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. Better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Then I returned and saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor, and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, yea, it is a sore travail. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king, who will no more be admonished. For out of prison he cometh to reign, whereas also he that is born in his kingdom becometh poor. I considered all the living which walk under the sun, with a second child that shall stand up in his stead. There is no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and vexation of spirit." Let's pray this morning. Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for giving us the bus of safety on the way here this morning. And thank you for the young people that are here. It's exciting on the Children's Parade Sunday, Lord, and to see all these young people. And Lord, I do thank you for parents that came today. And I pray that you just bless them. Lord, I pray that today would be, as they listen to the Word of God preached, that you would just touch their hearts. God, I pray that you touch all of our hearts. God, I pray that you would help us to listen, help us to... We just read a verse, even in Ecclesiastes, to be admonished. And you talk about a child is wiser that's willing to be admonished than an older person that's not. And Lord, I pray that we would practice wisdom today. And Lord, I want to be better for you as a result of what I hear and what I apply to my life today. Lord, help me as I talk this morning. And Lord, I pray that it wouldn't be words that I say, Lord, but I pray that it would be things that you would want me to say. And help me to glorify you in everything I do, in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to go down to verse number 9. The Bible says, in Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, the whole chapter, it's kind of sprinkled with little almost proverbs, if you will, little bits of advice here and there. And amidst his reasoning and his philosophy in chapter 4, There is some little bits of advice, and verse number 6 gives us one of those. Better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full, but you have with travail and vexation of spirit. And so there's little things here and there, but we're going to look at primarily this one thought about the cord, about a cord, and about two being better than one. So in verse number 9, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. The Bible says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. This kind of hit a chord, not, no pun intended, hit a note, the other kind of chord, in my heart. And I've always, as a young person, as a young man, and even today, there's always been a fascination with, you know, ropes. I always liked ropes. I liked climbing ropes. I liked having ropes you tied stuff up with. You built stuff with ropes. I mean, every fort I built as a young child was, you know, had string or ropes. And honestly, you know, you can give a, you know, we come up, everybody's come up with all these different toys that you can go buy. But when I was growing up, you know, one of the best things that I could ever get was if we would go to the sporting goods section. And my mom would, we could get, and a lot of times I would buy it because I needed it. And we'd get rolls of, there. If you go to the sporting goods in the fishing department, over by the catfish area, it's always where it's at. It's nylon string, and it comes in rolls. I mean, you can get 500 yards on a roll of it. Well, that stuff is indispensable, okay? It's next to duct tape and baling wire as, you know, the holy grail of fix everything. So, well, zip ties are getting real close. Zip ties are relatively, you know, they're pretty good too. I love zip ties. But string or rope, and, you know, it always, you know, you could almost do anything. I would make traps, all kinds of stuff with that string or with that rope. And, you know, as I got older, my ropes got bigger. And because you had to have stronger ropes to be able to do what you're doing as you get older. And it's pretty amazing what they've developed over the years as far as the material that they use in ropes. A lot of you remember, you know, what they used to, my dad has some in his garage, and we used them for climbing ropes, but they were, I don't know, what were those made out of? Hemp. So now you can smoke it and it's legal, all right? He had hemp before they made it legal. It's in his garage, so if anybody needs anything, it's just down in his garage. But anyway, no, they made it out of hemp. It was, you know, hemp, marijuana, they use the leaves, but hemp is, they take the stems, and it has fiber in it, and they crush it, and they take that fiber out, and they make ropes out of it. But, you know, you couldn't get it wet. You know, it really needed to stay fairly dry. It stretched real bad. And so, you know, then nylon was a big deal. And they still, this rope right here is still a nylon rope. And you can still buy a lot of ropes that are made out of nylon. Very good for weather permeability and things like that. They've got rope. It's a synthetic rope. You may have heard of it. It's called Amsteel, Samson, Amsteel Blue. It's actually stronger. A half inch rope of that is stronger than a half inch steel cable. All right. It's stronger than steel, of the same size. And it's, you know, obviously it's so much lighter. Now it does have downsides. It's not as abrasive resistant, but a lot of guys use them in their winches on their vehicles. It's amazing, but it's still, it's a rope. It's a rope. And so I'm going to look at some thoughts this morning about a cord, as the Bible talks about, or a rope, but more specifically, how as a congregation, how as a church family, these principles, there's some very good principles here that we can pull out of. Because, you know, you think of a chain versus a rope, and there's something very different. You know, a chain has individual links, doesn't it? All right? And those chains, the chain, you know, everybody says the chain is only as strong as its weakest link. But you know, the interesting thing about a rope is it's not just as strong as the weakest part. And I'll explain this in just a minute. I've been taking our teenage boys for the past 5 years, I think. We've been going on, we usually do it in the fall, but we go on it's kind of a primitive camping trip, all right? The first year I took them, the only thing that they were allowed to bring was a water bottle, a knife, and a pair of socks. That was the only thing they were allowed to bring. And we were gone for 3 days. And so we had to kill everything that we were eating. If they didn't kill it, I had a rifle. So, but if they didn't kill it, that meant they didn't eat. All right. So, but one of the very first things, if you go into doing any that type of primitive or survival type camping, is the biggest, one of the biggest things you have to to get the fundamentals of is cordage, okay? Because if you don't have cordage, you're in a heap of trouble, okay? And you can make cordage out of a lot of different things, and it's very easy. You can do it, and that's one of the first things you can teach them is how to make cordage. And you can, and you start as, you know, obviously we don't have things that we can get synthetic fiber or even, you know, animals or anything like that to start with. So you have to start with the very basics, and you twist it to, and I won't go into it, but you can twist it to the right and then you lap it back over to the left. You twist it to the right and lap it to the left. And you can make however long a rope that you want. And each time, you know, well, you only have so long of plant fibers. That's true. But you have to splice the plant fibers together, okay, or whatever fibers you're using. So when you're making this, you start with, you know, a fiber that's a foot long. And before long, obviously you're going to run out of a foot long fiber, okay? If you're going to take, let's say I had a bundle of grass up here and I'm making a rope out of a bundle of grass, much like, honestly, not too far off from what they're doing with, you know, the ropes that they used to make. But you're twisting it to the right, and then you cross it to the left, and it holds itself, the twisting motion holds itself together. But at some point, you have to put more fiber in. Because if you don't put more fiber in out of a 12-inch piece of grass, at most you're going to end up with a 6-inch piece of cordage. Well, that's not going to do you a whole lot of good. So you constantly have to be reintroducing new fibers into the rope. Now, the longer the piece of rope you have, the more uses it has, all right? And so I got thinking about that concept because I do know that concept, and there is some concepts about the church and their church body. You know, God didn't create the church for there to be maverick Christians or lone wolf Christians. Well, I'm just going to go do my own thing. You know, there's a reason Pastor has a program at our church. All right. And that's, you know, the soul winning program, or, you know, I'm glad that when brother Tom gets up to lead the singing, that everyone just doesn't go to their favorite hymn and start singing their favorite hymn. Okay. There has to be a unity. There has to be a cohesiveness that produces what we're looking for. Okay. And there has to be that. And so I there's some things about a cord. And we're going to look at this, and look, if you would, at verse number 9 of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 9. The Bible says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. And then if you go down to verse number 12, the Bible says, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. One of the first things I want you to notice about a cord is the strength of the cord. The strength of the cord. You know, if I had a bundle of grass up here, one individual blade of that grass is not that strong. All right? I could take it very easily and pull it apart. Okay? But you start weaving these grasses together, all right? You quickly become where it's hard. I mean, you have to pull pretty hard to pull it apart. But then if I take that that little piece that I wove together, and I take three of those, and I twist them in the same way and put them together, I braid them together, then I have what the Bible says here is a threefold cord. This rope right here, if you twist it backwards, all right, it will come out into three different parts, okay? But inside each one of those three different parts, this one right here is one of the three. Obviously, it's not as big as the whole cord. There is 9 inside of this one. Inside each one of those 9, there is 6 inside of it. And inside each one of those 6, I didn't count because that's when they get really, really small, okay? But does that make sense? I mean, if I took just one of these little fibers, I mean, it's smaller than your hair, honestly. These little fibers are smaller than visibly than a hair. It wouldn't be anything for me to just pluck it apart. But you put 100 or 150 of those into one, and then you put those 150 into 6, and then you put those 6 into 9 and you put those 9 into 3, it produces a rope that you put any two vehicles out here together and they're not going to pull it apart. But it all starts with 1 that in and of itself is not that strong. You know, I'm glad that God, you know, that God has the church body. There is something strong, there is something useful about the church body, all right? And it's not about everybody going off and doing your own thing. It's about all us, and I hear this sometimes, well, you know, the Bible says where 2 or 3 are gathered together, there will I be in the midst of them. Well, that's true, okay? But quite honestly, 2 or 3 gathered together aren't going to do as much as 200 or 300 gathered together. All right, and I understand God uses the small, and God specializes in the impossible. Okay, but God, I mean, how many times in the Bible did God use Gideon's 300 men? Once. Versus how many times in the Bible did God use the congregation of Israel to fight a battle? Okay, and okay, I understand God uses people. But God also uses a church, all right? And there's strength in this. We're able to do, and I talked to a guy 2 weeks ago, and pastor just told me about another man he talked to that are going to churches that honestly, folks, are dead churches. They're not doing anything. The problem is these men have a heart to do something, but they're limited because their church isn't able to help them get it done. Okay? You may have a heart, let's say Brother Val. Brother Val may have a heart, and he does. He has a heart to run a bus route. Okay? But you know what? It would be really hard for Brother Val to run a bus route, buy the bus, pay for the fuel, then get to church, teach all the Sunday school classes, teach every church service. It's pretty much impossible. And you see people that, you know, they've got a heart to serve God and they want to do it, but the resources aren't there for them to be able to be useful. You know how we're able to bring, you know, I'm kind of looking through here. I'm trying to see. I think Brother Val right now, Brother Val is the only person in here besides myself and Brother John that runs a bus route, and you may ride on one, but runs a bus route. But you know, everyone else in here, you're just as much a part of that rope as he and I are, because you know what you're doing? You're giving us the strength to be able to go put fuel in the buses, that you're giving us the strength to be able to have a church here that we can bring these kids to, that we have Sunday school teachers that are teaching these kids right now, okay? It's not because of the one fiber that decides I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be all I can be. Well, I think we should all be all that we can be, but it comes back to the strength of the rope, the strength of the cord. The Bible says 2 are better than 1 because they have a good reward for their labor, a good reward for their labor. One of the things about the strength, and I hope this makes sense. When I'm talking about strength here, look at down at verse number 10. The Bible says, "For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." To help him up. When you're weaving these ropes together, when you're weaving this cordage together, obviously there has to be a time when there is a splice. The key is when you start with your fibers, you must make one side of your fiber longer than the other side. And I should have brought some to illustrate this, and I didn't. I apologize. But you must make one side of your fiber. The reason is when you're twisting your rope together, the one side of your fiber needs to be finished before the other side is. Because what happens is the side that you get finished with your fibers first, that is the side that you put in a splice. And any splice is going to be a weak spot. But the thing is where it's weak on the one side of your rope is where it's strong on the other. That's what gives that splice its strength. If you butt splice and put two splices right together, it's an easy, it can part very easily there. But if you cross it over, your splice will hold. Okay? And you know the nice thing about the church body is that God's given every one of us, everyone, strengths and weaknesses. And when you get 100 people together, the strengths, God has a unique way of giving us the strengths of one person or the weakness. You know, I have a lot of weaknesses, right? I do. I have a lot of things I am very deficient at. But you know, God has a way of having somebody there that also has a strength in that area and that can help when we fall, as the Bible talked about, that can still be there to hold the rope together. Okay? Let's say, for instance, I'm glad that we all don't have a weakness with bad music. Okay? Isn't that good that we all don't have a... Now, there's some people probably in here that you might struggle with listening to the wrong kind of music. All right? For instance, my wife, when she was growing up, all right, there was things that because of her background and her upbringing, she has weaknesses in, but because of my upbringing and my background, I have a strength in. So something that she may struggle with, I don't have a problem with. So to me, it's not a big deal. Aren't you glad that we all don't, you know, if we all go out visiting on soul winning together and, you know, we had two guys go up to a door and both of them struggled with the wrong kind of music and the wrong kind of music is playing right there, that, you know, they both don't start singing along with it? Okay? That wouldn't be good. All right? Not a good testimony. Okay? Well, I'm glad that God's given us as a church body strengths and weaknesses, okay? And God has a way of, okay, well, this is this weakness in somebody's life, but God's going to give them somebody that can come alongside them and strengthen them. And that's what a rope does, okay? It's not every man, we're not a chain here where, well, every man, you're your own man, and if you break, the whole thing falls apart. I'm glad that, you know, honestly, if for some reason I hope by the grace of God I always stay in the will of God, but you know the honest truth of the matter is, if I leave the will of God, I don't think this church is going to fall apart. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, and it may not even be me leaving the will of God. If God's will makes me leave, this church isn't going to fall apart. You know why? All right? Because I'm not the link that holds the whole thing together. Praise God. Because it would have already fallen apart by now. I promise you. Okay? Well, with the rope, the weakness in one area is many times the strength in another area. And that's what makes it so long, so useful. All right? So we have the cord of strength. The cord of strength. Secondly, there's the cord of comfort. The cord of comfort. One of the nice things about being in the family of God is the fellowship and the camaraderie and the comfort that comes from being with each other. Okay? I'm glad that when you're facing something in your life that's a big deal, you know, it's nice to be able to know that you can write it on a paper and turn it into your church, or you can text a lady and within 10 minutes, you can have well over 100 people praying for you or for an important situation just like that, okay? I think that's huge, okay? Well, I can get a hold of God. Okay, well, I'm glad you can get a hold of God too, and I'm glad that you can pray too. And I think there are times we ought to just go to God for ourselves. Okay? When I have a cold, I don't turn it in that, if I have a need, a lot of times I just pray for it myself. But, you know, when my daughter fell out here on the playground, some of you remember that. I'm glad I had a church family that was praying. When Case, you know, was going to the hospital and they didn't know what was going on, and several times they've not known what was going on, I'm glad that there has been a church family. Because, you know, as mom and dad, you're kind of in that situation. Everything is just a blur. Okay, you don't know. You know, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings that can't be uttered. Sometimes you don't even know what to pray. And I'm glad we have a church family. I'm glad that there's that comfort. You know, when somebody passes away, I'm glad that there's a church family that can come alongside and comfort. And even in good things, Miss Dawn just had a baby. You know what's a blessing about a church family? You know, they don't have to, you know, they get meals a whole week, all right? You know, the sad thing, though, to me is that I think many times, and I think this is something that we need to be conscious of, sometimes the world will do more for their buddies than what the church family will do for each other. And that shouldn't be that way, all right? It shouldn't be. Just because you're in a union, your union pals shouldn't do more for you than what your church family does for you. All right? Now, I understand they look at things very differently too. You know, to them, you know, they just want to, the only thing honestly the world knows how to do is to have a benefit or to raise money or something like that. They don't understand the power of prayer. They don't understand that other part of it. And I understand that. But when you see a brother in need or a sister in need, what's wrong with going? Bible talks about, you know, the good thing about having two people together is that one can help the other one up, all right? And give them that encouragement. The Bible talks about here, again, verse number 11, again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? The first few camping trips that I took with these guys, remember, the first one was, I was the roughest on them. They didn't have anything hardly, okay? I think I may have let them bring a blanket. It's either a blanket or like a sleeping bag. No pillows. So they had to improvise whatever they was going to do with that. But we did it on spring break the first 2 years, which would have been 2 weeks ago. Beginning of March. Okay, it snowed a couple. Well, that first couple times we went, it was cold. Okay, especially for, you know, sissy guys that have been living in 70 degree weather all winter, all right? You go out and you know, because it's not like you know, the guys, it's interesting when you take these guys, because there's no electricity, how quick they go to bed at night, all right? They probably stay up till 10, 11 o'clock most nights. When you go on a camping trip, when the sun goes down, I mean, they sit around a little fire for a little bit, but then at some point there's not much left to talk about, so they go to bed, all right? But that first time we went, we about froze. And, you know, obviously we're not in a cabin. We don't even have a tent, okay? We had to build our shelter and everything. And so we're laying on this, you know, semi-frozen ground because it hasn't really thawed completely from winter. All right, and we got one fire and it's down by our feet, okay? And you know what I told the guys? I said, guys, you know what we're going to have to do to stay warm? You're going to have to all cram together. Well, it's a bunch of guys, okay? All right? But you know what? I guarantee they stayed much warmer. And because they did, they were basically laying shoulder to shoulder, all the way across. And I had like six of them. So you think of you got six guys, one fire, all right? So they're all crammed in there. And you know who got the coldest? And I asked him the next morning, who got coldest? The two guys on the end. Two guys on the end. Why? Because everybody else was benefiting from their barrier body heat, all right? You know what the Bible's talking about here? The same thing. You know how we can come together and comfort, honestly. You know, we want to be warm because we want to be comfortable. Okay? And so this comfort comes from having multiple people. All right. I love coming to church. I really do. I like fellowshipping with our church family. Okay. I enjoy that. I enjoy that. And I think that's why God put that, one of the reasons God put that together. So we got the cord of strength, we've got the cord of comfort, and then we've got the cord of accountability. Accountability. You know, one of the nice things about a rope or a cord, or the, remember I talked about the strengths and the weaknesses? Well, the strengths, remember, we're going to fall. It's not about if we fall, it's about when we fall. Okay, we're all going to fail. We're all going to do something we shouldn't. And so the nice thing is you know what? You have a church family that kind of helps keep you accountable. Okay, because if everyone's their lone maverick, you know, the Bible, Judges talks about every man did that which was right in whose eyes? His own eyes. Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. You know, there's one word in there that messes that whole statement up, and it's the smallest word of the whole statement. Well, I don't see anything wrong with it. Well, it's not about what I see, it's about what God sees, okay? And you know who keeps me accountable to being where I need to be as far as what God sees? It's a church family, honestly, okay? It's a church family. Bible says, for if they fall, so it's talking about a failure, they'll lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And here's the thing. The one thing that you say, well, they're just a bunch of hypocrites. And that's honestly, I hear that sometimes. I don't go to church because they're just a bunch of hypocrites. First of all, that's kind of like the statement, don't judge me, okay? Because everyone judges everyone, all right? But when you get close to someone, I want you to think about this. This is a very tight-knit rope, okay? So every one of these fibers is in reality laying very close to the next fiber, all right? It's laying very close to it. If we were to say that those fibers had eyes, wouldn't it make sense that one fiber would be able to see where the other one was weakest at? If it's lying very close to it. In theory, it would. I know it's they don't have eyes, but wouldn't that make sense? You know, the one thing about a church family, folks, is the closer you get to your church family, the more you're going to realize that we're not all perfect and that we all have shortcomings, okay? But it's not about pointing out the shortcoming in everybody else. It's not about the one fiber, okay? It's about making the rope functional. And instead of pointing out, well, this young person, they didn't dress right this week. Okay. I had a girl, she's been here for 9 weeks. 9 weeks. Every week she's been here for 9 weeks. You may not have noticed her. She probably would have just blended in with everyone else. She probably even sat up here on the front, you know, front second row, talked during church sometimes. But ever since our fall youth rally, back in the fall, God spoke to her heart, and she's been here every week except for this week. This is the first week she's missed in 9 weeks, okay? And you can look at, you know, the flaws, right? But she's not even here today. And if it's a thing, well, they shouldn't talk in church, and I agree. They shouldn't talk in church. And if it's, you know, they shouldn't wear that kind of clothing, I agree. And it's a process. I've got another young lady that came today, okay? I saw her this morning. And you know what? She's making great endways. A lot of people, there's people in this room that's invested a lot into this young lady, okay? They've given for her to go on trips. She's gone on trips with us, right? But you can either look at the flaws, okay? But that same girl I said that wasn't here last week on the way home, she was yelling out the bus window, inviting people to church, okay? Hey, you need to come. with us at church, right? That, well, they shouldn't yell at the bus windows. All right, you know what? She may have some flaws, and we're going to work hard. She had a rough week this week at school, right? She got kicked out of school. She had a rough week, but she's got a rough life, okay? Those are the part of the fibers that you don't see. You just see the splice that, well, bless God, just write them off. And I do it too. I do it too. Sometimes you have one of those demonic children. You're like, I'm going to strangle this. I got to go inside the main service because if I have to deal with them, there will be no child left. No, I'm kidding. But there's just some weeks. But you know what? I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the weeks. And Brother Jeff's not here this morning. I'm thankful for the week. And I try to have a pretty even keel. But there's sometimes. But you know the times that I seem to be short. Brother Jeff has got extra patience that week. Hey, come here. Come here. You can sit with me this week. And then sometimes other people just, but you know what? That's the strength of the cord. That's the strength of the cord. Don't write off a weakness that you see. Don't write off me because you see, well, Brother Chad did this and he shouldn't have. Well, sorry. Okay? I apologize. Don't write me off because of a weakness. Don't write these young people off because of a weakness that you see. Don't write each other off. You know, the gossip chain is stronger than the Christian rope, seems like. All right? It goes from one thing to the next thing, the next thing, next thing. And for long, it's not even the truth anymore. All right? So the cord of strength, the cord of comfort, the cord of accountability. Help each other. Strengthen each other. Stay faithful to church. That's what makes it strong. Stay faithful to church. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Pray that you bless us. Help us the rest of the day. Thank you for our pastor. Help him as he preaches. Just fill him with your power and be with him. In Jesus' name, amen.